Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in a series called You Make Me Crazy. These teachings take a biblical look at topics like peace in our relationships, finding true love, breaking free from abuse, resolving conflict, ending the cycle of people-pleasing, and dealing with the crazy makers in our lives. Now, because we've all got at least one relationship that makes us crazy, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a must-have resource from Pastor Rick Warren called the You Make Me Crazy Study Kit, complete with a 6-session DVD and workbook. If just surviving your relationships isn't good enough for you, then go ahead and take a sneak peek at this powerful DVD-based Bible study while you're listening to today's broadcast. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Breaking Free from Abuse.
The second characteristic is intimidation. Intimidation. That's emotional abuse. Psalm 109, verse 20, he says, they tell lies about me and they threaten me. Circle that. They threaten me. That's intimidation. When you have people in your life who are always making threats, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to walk out on you. Why, if you do that, you don't know what. And they're always threatening you with violence, threatening you with leaving, threatening you with a lawsuit, threatening. This can happen at work. It can happen at school. It can happen in your neighborhood. It can happen in your home. When people are threatening you, they are emotionally abusing you. It's intimidation. They're always making threats. They try to scare you into compliance. They try to pressure you into compliance. That is intimidation. Third mark is denigration. Denigration is when they're always putting you down. And in Psalm 22, verse 7, David says of his enemies, they make fun of me and they ridicule me. They make fun of me and they ridicule me. Now, we're not talking about good-natured teasing here. In fact, teasing can be an evidence of love. And when you're teasing somebody and you love them, they know you're not doing it in a mean-spirited me. What we're talking about here is mean-spirited scorn and derision. They intentionally ridicule you. They belittle you. They put you down. They're constantly attacking you, belittling you, and heaping scorn on you. I don't know if you saw the last 2 weeks on the internet, it's been a buzz with these grade school kids or junior high kids who did this, made this video on the school bus. And there was an older woman sitting on the bus who was overweight, and the kids thought it would be real fun to make a videotape of them belittling her. And it was absolutely mean-spirited, and it went on and on, and it actually backfired on the kids, but it showed this kind of denigration is emotional abuse. The fourth one is in Psalm 69. David says, I've been insulted, put to shame, and humiliated. This is the fourth mark of abuse, humiliation. When you're in a relationship where you experience humiliation, that's abuse, friends. That's emotional abuse. I've been insulted, put to shame, and humiliated. Shame is the favorite tool of abusers. They demean you, they dishonor you, and they disgrace you. Denigration, humiliation, intimidation, aggravation. Number five, manipulation. Manipulation is when they're trying to control you and they're bullying you around. In Psalm 73, verse 8, I love this, the Message paraphrase, they jeer, they use words to kill, they bully their way with words. You ever been bullied with words? They're trying to manipulate you by what they say. You're verbally bullied. That's manipulation, and that's emotional abuse. Number six, domination. They push hard to make me fall. They push hard. What is domination? They're trying to control you in every kind of way. They're always pushing at you. Everything is a power play. Everything is about control. Everything's about who's in charge, who's number one, who's pulling the strings. They turn everything into a power play. You see this at work, and you unfortunately sometimes see it in marriages. Domination. They push hard to make me fall. It's a control situation. And then in Psalm 31, 13, David says, they spread rumors about me and conspire against me. That's defamation. Defamation. They spread rumors about me and conspire against me. Defamation. They're trying to defame. They love to use gossip to defame you. They like to spread rumors about you. They like to say things that embarrass you. The internet is filled with this kind of emotional abuse. People are defaming and despoiling and disgracing and embarrassing people all the time. Defamation. And then finally, number eight is condemnation. And condemnation is they mock me with the worst kind of profanity and they snarl at me. In other words, they use vulgarity, they use profanity, they use cursing for shock value. They like to drop the F-bomb. They like to drop other cuss words. They like to use crude slang about a part of your body or about your gender, or they call you this or that, some crude name. It's condemnation. They mock me with the worst kind of profanity and snarl at me. Now, friends, if any of these words describe the environment that you are in, let me just tell you real clearly, you are being emotionally abused. This is not good-natured stuff here. This is emotional abuse. And what you need to do is you need to admit it, and you need to name it, and you need to call it for what it is, and you need to point out that that's exactly what it is. It's not playfulness. It's meanness. It is meant to harm. It is malicious. Now, the third step in recovering and breaking free from abuse, Pastor Tom is going to come and teach.
The third step is don't minimize it. Don't rationalize it. Ephesians 5:6 says, don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God comes upon all those who disobey him. So you don't say things like, well, he was just having a bad day, or she was just having a bad day, or I brought it on myself, or there are so many good things about him, there are so many good things about her. You don't minimize it. You don't rationalize it. A number of you know that I grew up in a home with a dad who was mentally ill. As his mental illness in our childhood years first began to show itself, he began to be abusive towards my mom. First with words, and then with threatening physical actions. And then I remember a night when he pushed her on the couch and held her down to talk to her. She immediately made sure the police were contacted. We moved out of the house. Her sister lived in the same town, so we moved in with them. They had four kids. We had three kids. I've always thought about our parents and what they had to face when that happened. She got a separation from him, and we moved back into our house. I've always been so grateful that my mother did not rationalize it or minimize it. She could have said, he's just sick. She could have said, it's not his fault. And some of that was true. But the truth was, he was abusing her. And she made the decision to do something about it. I know that it terrified her. It terrified her. It was the hardest thing she ever had to do. But she decided to not minimize it, to not rationalize it. And that's what we have to decide as well. I've got to tell you, as I check my own emotions, even this many years later, it's hard for me to talk about this. We don't like to talk about abuse. We don't like to admit that it's there. We don't like to face it. And because of that, everything in us wants to minimize it. We want to rationalize it. Even some of you that were in an abusive home years and years ago, you haven't faced it in your own life. You still minimize it, rationalize it, push it down. Some of you that are in an abusive situation right now. I'm praying God will give you the courage, instead of minimizing it and rationalizing it, to take some steps. Now, my mom and dad stayed married the rest of their life. But that time of separation changed everything because she didn't rationalize, she didn't minimize. If you want some strength for doing that, remember how God feels about abuse. You want to know how God feels about it? Just pick up the Bible and read through the prophets. Read through particularly the 12 minor prophets at the end of the Old Testament. Just about every one of those minor prophets is about God's anger towards those who have practiced injustice or abuse, particularly to those who are weaker in society. They use their strength, physical strength or political strength, to abuse other people. And God just says, I am angry at this. I'm going to judge this. By the way, when you think about abuse, sometimes it seems like the abuser is the person who is strong. It's important to remember that when somebody is practicing abuse, it's always because they feel deep insecurity and a deep sense of being powerless in their life. And that insecurity, that powerlessness in their life, is causing them to want to abuse other people in their life. So I've had to learn some tough life lessons about this one. And one of the keys in abuse is what's going on in your own mind. So whether it happened a long time ago or it's happening right now or it's just beginning to happen, you don't minimize it, you don't rationalize it. You say, God, give me the courage to deal with it.
The Bible talks about this very issue where it says in Ephesians 5:6, don't be fooled by those who try to excuse their sins. For the anger of God comes upon those who disobey him. Don't be confused by people who try to excuse their sin, who try to just rationalize it or justify it. He says, it makes God angry. God hates abuse. If you want to know what God thinks about it, God hates abuse. It makes him very, very angry. Now, the fourth key to helping someone who is going through abuse or is trying to recover from abuse is, number four, help them to a safe place if necessary. Maybe they need to get out of the situation. Help them to a safe place if necessary. Now, let me just say this as clearly as I can as your pastor who loves you very much. So read my lips on this one. If you are being physically or sexually abused, you need to get out now. Not tomorrow morning, tonight. Not next day, today. You need to get out now. There is not, listen to me, as a pastor, I've got a doctorate in theology, there's not a single verse in the Bible that says a child or a wife or a husband has to remain in a situation where their life is threatened or they are sexually abused. There's not a single verse in the Bible, and anybody who tells you that has perverted scripture. It's just not there. It isn't there. You need to get out of that relationship right now. You say, but Rick, I'm married. I didn't say divorce him now. I didn't say that at all. The Bible says God hates divorce. And I've seen all kinds of miracles take place in the lives of people where marriages were put back together after a major separation many, many times. I do not believe in divorce, but I have sometimes encouraged a separation for the purpose of reconciliation. Sometimes the only way you get somebody's attention is to move out of the picture for a period of time with the intention of restoring the relationship. That is a separation for the purpose of reconciliation. If you are in a situation where you are being physically or sexually abused, or a child is, you need to report it and you need to get out of it right now. And then you begin to pray and you take some of these other steps that we're gonna teach you, and you pray that God will reheal that and put it back together, not in the same old way. I don't want that relationship put back together in the old way. I want it in a brand new way, a whole new marriage, a whole new family, a whole new relationship there where God has just changed you and changed them. How can I best help my friend? Somebody tells me they're going through abuse, physical, sexual, verbal, emotional, and they're being, how can I help them? Well, the first thing I do is help them to get the courage to report it, to talk about it. It's the law. It's the law when it comes to child abuse and wife abuse and things like that. It's the law. And then the second thing is to understand the pain that they're in and sympathize with them. Put yourself in their shoes. Do you know in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 13, it says that we are to never forget people who are in prison. It says we're to remember people in prison. We're to pray for them. We're to care for them. We're to love them. And it says in Hebrews 11, you are to remember people in prison as if you were there with them. You know what the second half of that verse says? Look on your outline. The second half of Hebrews 13:3 says this, and look on victims of abuse as if what happened to them happened to you. You were to take the abuse of another person as seriously as if it were happening to you. You are not to stand by and do nothing, say nothing. You are to act as if it was happening to you. God commands it. God commands us to share the load. Galatians 6:2. Carry each other's burdens. And there's no greater burden than abuse. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now, as I said earlier, abuse can happen anywhere. It doesn't just happen in the home. It happens at work. It happens in offices all the time. It can happen in the office. It can happen at school. It can happen in the neighborhood. So you know what? As Christians, we ought to be ready to stand up, to defend and protect the abused and the victims wherever they are. If anybody ought to be on the right side of love and on the right side of the law, it ought to be Christians on this issue. Not, it's none of my business. It is your business. It is your business. If you care, if you love, if you call yourself a Christian, it is your business. You see anybody abused anywhere, believe me, as a pastor, if I hear about anything abuse happening in my church, I take action on it. I'm not covering it up. I'm not going to smooth it off. We're going to deal with it. We're going to deal with it right there because I've seen what God can do in people's lives when you can confront it. Why do people abuse anyway? How many times have you heard me say this? Hurt people hurt people. Typically, abused people, abusers, have been abused themselves. And hurtful people have been hurt themselves. And ungracious people have never been graced themselves. And those, you learned that somewhere. And you know what? We're all broken. Everybody is broken. Everybody is broken. So nobody's more holier than now than anybody else. But you got to deal with it. And you can't shine it on. You can't pretend like it's not happening. You got to deal with it. And Christians need to stand up and be ready to protect the defenseless and the offended and the victims wherever they are.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. If you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, confession time. You probably have a relationship that could drive you crazy if you let it. Whether it's a boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, sibling, parent, coworker, or a relative you see at every family get-together. A crazy maker can really make life difficult. That's why you need the You Make Me Crazy Study Kit. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Do you have any crazy makers in your life? Of course you do. We all have relationships that just drive us crazy. You know, I created a kit called You Make Me Crazy Study Kit that's going to help bring sanity to your relationships. I'd like to send you the You Make Me Crazy Study Kit as a thank you gift when you support Daily Hope with your financial gift this month. This 6-week study guide through God's Word will give you the guidance you need to face and even connect with the crazy makers in your life. Did you know that God has them there for a purpose? During this study, we're going to look at what the Bible says about being wise in your relationships, about resolving conflict, about breaking free from abuse and codependency, about escaping the people-pleaser trap, and about keeping crazy makers from making you crazy. I really appreciate your support for Daily Hope. It's only because of people like you and the financial gifts of listeners that we're able to reach so many people with the good news of God's Word.
Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a gift to help share the hope of Jesus Christ with people around the world, we'll send you your very own copy of the You Make Me Crazy 6-Session DVD and Workbook Study Kit. You can go to PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to get yours. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle, or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.